Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am joined by author Claudia Bergoa. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for letting me be in here.
So Claudia is an award-winning USA Today bestselling author. She writes alluring, thrilling stories about complicated women and the men who take their breaths away. Her books are the perfect blend of steamy and heartfelt, filled with emotional characters and explosive chemistry. Her writing takes readers to new heights, providing a variety of tears, laughs, and shocking moments that leave fans on the edge of their seats. She lives in Denver, Colorado, with her husband, her youngest two children, and three fluffy dogs. When Claudia is not writing, you can find her reading, knitting, or just hanging out with her family. At night, she likes to binge watch shows or movie with her equally geeky husband. I love that.
Hi.
So welcome to the podcast. But before we talk, Under the Same Sky, which is your newest Timberbridge Brothers release, let's get to know you a little bit. So what initially drew you to romance as a writer?
Since I was little, I was watching telenovelas with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very familiar to these couple conflict, falling in love, falling out of love. And I
Chaos.
was just invested to why, how, and everything. I grew up in Mexico City. So there is this, well, there was this author, Yolanda Vargas Dulce, who wrote a lot of, they were like comic novellas. Her husband was the one that drew everything, but she was the one writing the novellas, and they were like this steamy, like HarperCollins, but they were serializers.
Yeah.
And my grandma will buy them and I will be reading them. I mean,
Of course.
come on,
Of course.
Who doesn't? So I like that. I don't know. I like the way the couples were interacting, like how the drama was evolving, and how there's something I'm really attracted to drama. I don't know why. Yes, I am. Like I am. It's like my honey. So that was when I started. And then when I obviously there's always a period where everybody stops reading, because you have to read. So why would you? That's high school. You're like, oh, I hate reading now, which you don't. It's just the whole, they make you read, so then it's not fun anymore. Then you're in college, and college makes it like you don't have time. You really don't have time. Then you have children, and at some point something happens. I've had a lot of friends that, no, it was this point and this point where I was able to take again a book. So when my son was diagnosed with autism, that I had to be going to places, therapy, diagnosis, and all that, that I have to wait in the waiting room, I started getting back into reading. Then my oldest child wanted to read books too. So she will be like, oh, how about this book? And I was like, no, child, you are not old enough to read Twilight yet. But I will read it to see if it was appropriate for it.
Appropriate, yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I started getting back to, oh, right, I like these kind of books. And at some point I was like, because I also liked writing when I was young. When I was 13, I actually tried to get into a contest, a writing contest. And it was a romance what I wrote. But it didn't work out. It was an English speaking contest, and the teacher, he said you have to write them, he never said, oh, they have to be in English. So it was when we were all ready to submit that he was like, oh, they have to be in English. And I mean, who's going to translate that? So nobody was able to enter. The English teacher actually was very upset. She was like, well, you should have told us, we could have worked on that. We could help all these kids that we're trying to. So yeah, that was the whole thing. So that's when I started. Then, I mean, throughout the years, I was taking Sebastian to therapy, that I was I was between autism books and romance books, reading J.D. Robb, which I fell in love with Rourke there. He probably is like my book boyfriend forever, I swear. But I started reading Susan Mallory. Like, I love The Fool's Fool's Gold. I think it's the small town that she has.
Yeah, I think
I
so. I
love
can't,
it.
I know exactly what you mean. I'm not sure 100% if that's right, but it sounds right.
I know. I have them in a box. We haven't unpacked the books. We just moved. But I have all the books in a box for J.D. Robb and for her. So I just started reading, and then I'm like, oh, what if I start writing? And what if I try a fantasy novel? I have it somewhere. I
In
won't
a
open
box,
it.
never to be seen again.
Yes, please don't. Because I was also into fantasy back then. I was reading a lot. I mean, I get obsessed with something and I just do it. So my two obsessions back then was getting all the help that I could get for Sebastian, but also reading all I could read. So that was my life for 6, 7 years until I started writing, and I started taking classes, craft classes, Writer's Digest, and other workshops that they will be giving online, because obviously I couldn't go anywhere. I have three children and one with super special needs. And that was what threw me. I feel like romance is something I can get into more because I like human interaction. It's a puzzle to me. Emotions are a little of a puzzle to me, so I like to play with that. And I also like to throw the drama.
Well, and the one thing with romance, and I mean people in general, is everybody's so different and they fit with different people so differently. So it's like one person's puzzle piece, like they can fit seven or eight different people perfectly, but it's how like the puzzle itself really comes together and like what brings them together and how they like nurture that.
Yes.
That's one thing I love about romance is it's like it really portrays like the vast differences of all the people. And it's like there are so many different personalities and emotions and the way people process emotions and the way they like you have like there's just so many layers to so many people, and romance gives you a little bit of all of that. Not that the other genres don't or the subgenres don't, but it's just different in romance.
Yes.
So what made you publish that first book?
Wasn't thinking. I wasn't thinking. If I have to do it all over again, I wouldn't have published. I wouldn't
No,
have.
you know.
The book wasn't ready. I just was like, I like things to get done. So when I think it's ready, I don't think. Sometimes I just do it and then I'm regretting it. It's like, ooh. So I finished the book. I had people reading it. I had editors going through it, and it was a cliffhanger. So first mistake that I know now is you don't release a book with a cliffhanger without having the second book. You really don't,
Well, because
because
Cliffies are the worst.
yet they are the worst. So people are not happy about it. I don't like cliffhangers. Let's start with that. I don't know what I was thinking. Again, I don't know what I was thinking. I'm not a fan of cliffhangers. There's a couple of authors that made me not like them because one of them still hasn't released a book. We won't talk about him. But it's like, it's book 10 and it's not coming out yet, and I don't think it will ever come out. But it makes you like, what happened? Like, my brain is like,
Yeah,
it's a
you need
stop.
that closure.
You totally need the closure. So it was a cliffhanger. I didn't have a second book. People were not buying the way that I thought they were going to buy because it was exactly the time when supposedly you put a book on Amazon and people will just buy it because you put it on Amazon. That's
Right.
how they make you think. It doesn't work like that. It didn't work like that back then. It doesn't work like that now. But really, I was like, yes, I'll just. So that started kind of slowing me down. And there were certain reviews, different reviews, like, oh, she should be doing this, she should be doing that. That fed my mind to what should I do for the rest of the book. So
Right.
really, it didn't came out really. The first two books were not what they should have done because it was too premature. I just thought it was ready. I was just like, it's been 5 years since I started it. I should do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
No. No, that was a really bad idea.
So do you have a subgenre that you read a lot now, like a genre or subgenre that you're really drawn to reading now?
So here's the thing. I do read some romance right now, but I try not to read much romance right now, which is weird. I know. Because I feel like sometimes it happened to me twice back in maybe 2018, 2019, that I was writing and whatever was reading, it started like
Blending together.
blending together. And I was like, no. So I have like if you have to go again through the entire manuscript and kind
Yeah.
of like
You're
take
like, this
it,
is what I read. I have to pull that out.
yeah, you scrap it and I scrap it and I scrap it until you're okay, this is it. So I stopped reading. Maybe if I had more breaks between when I write and when I read, it wouldn't be a problem. So now what I read the most is biographies or maybe a thriller or maybe a classic. Like I will go back and reread something that's super old. But I try not to read romance. I like when I do give myself like that, okay, fine. You have this big break, like you have the Christmas break and you have all this effort not to do anything, then I'm like, okay, and I read a lot really fast.
You
So
binge all the romance in those little
I binge
breaks.
all the romance. I will go through small towns. I really like small towns. There's something about it that maybe that's why I write them too, because just having that character that is a small town, it's lovely. Like you want to be there. So that's one of them. And a lot of vacation ones or summer camp ones, like I'm drawn to them too. Like they are in Italy, they are in Rome, they are in, like, I like that. And sometimes magic realism that the couples find each other somewhere in the middle of nowhere, but they are actually separated. I like that too. So yeah, that's where, but again, I don't read it as often as I would like to, just because I don't want anything to suddenly.
You're not the only one, because I've talked to a couple authors, like they write contemporary, and so they only read historical because they like the romance and they want to stay in the romance, but they find that they can't read contemporary while they're writing. Like they can read it, like you said, like when they're on like those like little writing hiatuses, but if they're in the middle of writing and they need that break, they can't do contemporary because it does, it like filters in and then they're pulling stuff out.
Yes.
Can you share any writing rituals or habits that help you stay focused?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to. It depends on the book.
Oh, really?
It goes by book, yes. I never do the same. I really never do the same. I try because it worked with the last book. It should work with this book. It
But it
doesn't.
doesn't.
Sometimes, yeah, no, sometimes it's music. Music would give me focus. I have a playlist that kind of like keeps me focused and I can like write super fast with that playlist, but sometimes that playlist doesn't work at all. Like it keeps my brain too busy into something that I just cannot concentrate on the book. So I mean, sometimes it's that, sometimes it's just going on a walk and dictate and dictate and dictate. But it doesn't, like, there are some books that I don't feel comfortable walking and writing at the same time. And I'm not sure what it is.
That's
So
really interesting.
every book is different. It's like I deal with different people, so I need to treat them differently.
That makes sense. So for your books though, do you plan, and I know you do kind of plan out your series, but do you write like a detailed outline, or do you like as you write your books, do your characters speak to you and you just kind of let them flow?
I do my, as I said, I do my series outline. I try to stay within that series outline. In the series outline, I like who's gonna be for each person. And book one, I try to outline it very detailed. And I would say 85% of the time, book one is exactly what I plan to create. So that's book one is. We're good. Book one is the one that introduced me to everyone or most of the characters, and that's when everything goes everywhere. That's when we lose momentum. That's when, like in this series, we have our board. Everything was planned out. My oldest daughter went to film school and knows how to write the scripts and all that stuff. So every time we're gonna sign a series, she will be like, okay, we're gonna try to keep this fire. Every time she does that, I'm like, okay. It's like trying to tell a little child, a little toddler, you're just gonna eat your veggies and nothing else. But the toddler always finds something else. She will climb places and find stuff.
It's like herding cats.
Yes, that's who I am. So I am good in book one. In book comes like for this series, book two was supposed to book. Be book three. Book three was supposed to be book two. Our Pauline is like, well, it's a middle child. The middle child will bring everyone together. That's what it has to be. Book three. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? The narrator, because I get my narrators way in advance. So I'm like, the narrator will be great for this guy, and I have the narrator on this side, but also I'm like, no. Yes, it will work better. Yes, I'm gonna write three now in book two because of the narrator, and then the two artists will be played better by this guy. And by then, my child was like, "What is the point of making an outline if you are not gonna listen to me?"
Well, it's the thought that counts.
I know. So
There's good intention there.
there, yes, this there's always good intention. And then I will talk to people about my outline, about what I'm going to do, and that's when it's lost. Yeah, by then we're in book four, and in book four,
You've taken a hard left and you're never coming back.
Totally. I think book five will stay how we want it to be because it's like the ending. The ending, you know what the ending is. So
Or
I
so you
think
think, or so
book
you
five,
think.
yeah, yes, I think book five is going to be fine. It's book four, all of a sudden, is all this stuff that I'm doing that I'm sure when my child goes and reads it and makes sure that things are properly voice because sometimes I swap words. It's gonna be like, this is not what we planned.
But that's okay because it works.
It's totally fine. It's totally fine. For me, it's, you know what? And that sometimes trying to stick to a outline that I created sometimes is what slows me down. That will be what slows me down, because sometimes it's like,
Because you're trying
no,
to focus on that and it
this
like,
is what we have to do
yeah.
because it says so.
But it's
Because
messing
I'm a
with your
rule.
flow.
Yes, I'm a rule follower, but also my brain doesn't like to follow rules when I'm writing. So there's conflict there.
So, romance readers, like tropes are a big thing. Do you have a favorite trope to write and why?
Oh gosh.
I know I'm asking the hard questions today.
That is hard. It really is depending on my mood. I think it's depending on my mood, but I would say microtropes, I have my favorites. I have favorite I, the banter is my favorite thing. If you read a book, any book of mine, any, if you know what I mean, you will find banter. And it's very entertaining. Very, very entertaining. My child says because I like to banter with my husband. I always win. It's like sometimes she goes,
Always win.
yeah, sometimes she goes through my books and she's like, oh my gosh, this is painful. It's like listening to my parents.
So, does your husband read your books?
No, he doesn't.
No.
He helps me sometimes come up with ideas, but he doesn't read my books, and he's a reader. He loves to read, but he doesn't read my books. I think he's read one because I tried to translate one to Spanish and he read it and he said it was good, but that's the only one he's ever read.
I mean, you're not the only one. There's a lot out there.
I
I just was
know.
curious since you're putting like the banter that you always win into
The
those
banter. I don't know what he would do if he reads the banter.
books.
Maybe he'll know how to get out of it. Maybe I don't want him to read them.
There you go. He might start to win a little bit.
Yeah.
So let's talk Under the Same Sky. So this is Timber Bridge Brothers book two. Release date is May 7th, 2025. It's small town, a little bit of a damaged hero. The heroine is on the run, but she's coming back home, and he is a single dad, and there is suspense to it. So what was the inspiration for this specific series? Because it does connect to your other worlds, but why this series?
It was actually my husband. Actually, we were talking about what series I should create next. We were talking about I wanted a hockey hero. Originally, I was gonna write it here a hockey an entire hockey romance series, but I wasn't sure, and I do have a lot of books written for that. But I wasn't sure. And he was like, well, I mean, you can have a hero that comes back to town and saves the neighbor. And then the sheriff is his brother. And after the series, he discovers who the bad guys were. And there's explosions. I'm like, okay.
Mean, who doesn't like a good explosion?
Yes, he was explosion. So that was the premise. He was like, here you go, do something with that. Good luck. And I'm like, you know what? It's not bad. It's not bad at all. I mean, I know he was joking. I know he was just like trying to come up with something ridiculous because that's my family, my everybody always comes with something crazy for me to write next. Which they know I want. But this one really had potential. Like I could see the potential because I'm like, yeah, guy comes to town. I love that's one of the things, family coming back to town.
Yeah, you seem to do that.
Yes, I like it. I like it when they come back to town. I don't know what it is. I like them to be like, I hate it here so much that I'm leaving. But then they grow as people and they realize that they didn't hate the place, they hate the circumstances because they were not old enough
To
to understand
understand,
things or to deal with a lot of the stuff, and like that's I like that. I like to visit that a lot. And everybody reacts differently. Each one of my characters reacts differently on to how traumas happen, or how, even if they live the same trauma because they are brothers, it's different. So I could see this hockey guy, hockey player coming back. And it was supposed to be a three characters, just three brothers series, but
But it
I
didn't
couldn't
work
help
out that
myself.
way.
No, that it
Well,
didn't work that way. It just didn't work that way. So yeah,
and so
that's
the brothers themselves, they kind of have this volatile relationship with it, which is also something that you kind of do. Like they're a family, but they're so disconnected and disjointed. But then as like your series play out, like they really do start to get to know each other, one as adults, but also like who they really are. And so by the end of the series, like it's not so volatile anymore.
exactly. I like that. Well, growing up, and this is something that I've observed while growing up. Well, growing up, and I don't know if all the people that I was around had issues, but I could see that the parents will be putting the siblings against each other all the time. And it wasn't just my family, it just wasn't my friend's family. It was all the families around me that you will see, like, oh, if you do this, you'll be my favorite for the day. Oh, you need to be better than your brother. You need to be better than your sister. You need to, like, there was never that tell these kids that they have to be a unit. And that is something that always, I always put it in the back of my mind. When I was working and my kids were very young, I had this HR person she was interviewing me, and she told me that the one thing that she did with her children was making sure that they were always doing everything together. Like they were always understanding that they were a team. That they, like, she's like, sometimes I was a bad guy. And it was okay as long as they were the team. They were fighting for the toy. The toy was going to time out. It wasn't who is going to. And I'm like, yes, because we were raised to be like, oh, who's the better one? That's the one that's going to get the toy. So I like that dynamic. And I know that's something that everybody has experienced, or most of the people. So, and everybody is different. So I like to visit that all the time. Like how parents, and you still see that happening. It's 2025 and you still see that happening. So I don't know. It's something that fascinates me. It really fascinates me. And I want these people that I met so many years ago, or maybe I want my own family at some point to be like, you know what? We're grown up. And we shouldn't be like that. So we should actually be siblings.
No,
So
I think that's great. I like that a lot. And it
that's
is so
why.
true. Like there's such a competitive nature that is pushed on people, and that love and caring and encouragement is not always present.
Yes.
So Nyssa, who is our heroine, she has been, because the book kind of opens up with a bang,
Yeah.
literally. And so she has been on the run essentially for 3 years. And so she comes back because her grandmother, who honestly, I wish we got more of her. She was just a delightful like character. But she tells Nyssa she is ill and like basically guilt trips her into coming back. And then we find out maybe things are not quite what they seem. But so when she comes home, Hopper, our hero, has bought the farm next door to her because he also has come home, and they connect, and there's some intrigue happening there.
Yes, the grandma. Yeah, I should have put more about the grandma. The grandma, I don't know if You had a grandma like that. My grandma, she was going to die since I was two. If people didn't come to visit her, if people didn't do that.
So growing up, we lived on the same property as my mom's parents. And so I saw that set of grandparents every day for many, 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 many years. Like until I went to college, I saw my grandparents every single day of my life. Unless like they happened to be like on vacation or something. But then like my dad's parents, they lived a little bit farther away, but we still saw them fairly regularly. So I had great relationships with both sides of grandparents. And so it's like I really enjoy that part of the story because it's like this is this grandmother who raised her after her parents were killed in an automobile accident, and she misses her. Like she
Yes.
wants her to come home, and she's like, well, how am I going to get her to come home? Because like she knows that she is running away, and so she's like, this is the only way I'm going to be able to do it. So I'm going to play that card.
That's the way that the grandmas that I know always made it to visit you because they were gonna die. They were gonna die. So yeah, I did, and then but the grandma knew just part of it. She didn't exactly know what was going on. So she was like, fine. I mean, somebody tried to steal your house. Come on. Call the police. Move
Well,
on.
and that's the thing, like we find out like in the prologue like what's going on and why Nyssa ran away, but she truly has not told anybody like the full scope of it. And when she does, like more things start happening. Like there is a lot of moving pieces with everything that's happening.
Yes, there's a lot happening. And book four is actually when you know exactly why a lot of people like why things were happening, like people knew, but they weren't sure why they knew.
Like they knew, but they
There.
didn't know. It's like that I know, like I know
Yes.
that he knows, but he doesn't know that I know type of thing.
Yes, kind of like that. Like in this book four, it's like, oh. I know there's a character I haven't talked about, but I have talked about at the same time, that comes into play in book four. And like, there's two characters that you really don't, but one of them, he's the one that gets told the beating of what's going on in the town just because there's people that still know him and they give him the updates of what's going on. So he's the one that's causing trouble because he's working with the Hollow Syndicate.
Well, and that's the thing, like with this series, like you have this overarching storyline of this
Yes.
syndicate that is trying to take control over different things in the town, and the brother, like the sheriff brother, he's trying to keep it out, but at the same time, like all this other stuff is happening, so it's like there's two like parallel stories running, but it doesn't
Yes.
get confusing, which is like surprising, 'cause like there's so many little intricacies. But it worked really well.
Yes. I like to have that background, like what exactly is bringing them, because you think the timber companies was bringing them back.
Right, but it's
But
not.
really, it's not what's bringing them back. It's more like, and you like it. It's the magnet, but really they're coming back because they're trying, like, what is, oh, I'm trying to raise my child in a safer place. The other one is like, okay, I need to be here because now I'm the sheriff. Ledger is like, okay, I'm the only one that can take care of this company, but I'm against it. Like, just sell this company and we're done with it, but you cannot sell it. Because he couldn't understand what was deep into not selling it. So yeah, all those pieces, and then you're gonna see Atlas coming. Well, you already saw Atlas in this
I
book.
did see Atlas come back, yes, since I read the
So
book. But Atlas does come back.
he ends up coming back, and there's like he comes back just for a little while, and then he goes, and then somebody from another book of course, somebody from another book makes him go back for real. Like, really, he's like, okay, you're gonna have to go back. So he goes back, and there's a reason why they want him there.
But nobody knows why he needs to be
Nobody
there
knows
yet.
why until later. Later, you're like, oh, this is what these guys do. So that's why he has to be there to help. So, and yeah, now we're in four, and you're kind of like building, and now four is when we need it. And I did have that in my board. Here's where you really need to uncover most of the how syndicate things and all that before you move on to five. So I think four is very important, even though five is like, oh my gosh.
So
But
Hopper
four, yes.
himself, like he is one of the brothers. He's one of the older ones, and he, like I said, the brothers do not have good relationships. Like he and Mal, who is in town, like they're starting to create a better one and having conversation. But so he is raising his 2-year-old daughter, and then we find out some stuff about, and I'm going to be vague about that because you got to read it. Like we find out some stuff about that, and you're like, this is interesting. But then Nyssa herself, who was best friends with Atlas, lays down some truths that nobody was aware of. So it's like there's all these little pieces, and it's like, because we find out information about Atlas and why they don't like him so much. And there's so much depth to each of these characters in how they love and how they don't want to love at the same time.
Yes, that's another thing about them that you could see they like when you get to see each one of the characters, the brothers, and you're like, okay, they hate each other, but do they really hate each other? Sorry.
That's okay.
Yes, no. I don't know what's outside my office.
It's
Keep saying in
okay.
the mailman, but not in my office. Hey guys, no. So sorry.
It's fine. It
So you
happens.
can see with each one, like with Mal, I mean, even from book one and now book two, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to keep these people away from here. Why are they coming? Like, I cannot protect them if they are coming. And that gives you a clue that even though he's like, you drive me crazy and I can understand you, I'm the oldest and I'm going to protect you. And you kind of see the same with each one of them. Like you with Atlas, you see here what he did, even he when he didn't have to do it. And there's more to do to be discover that happened because you're like, well, why was the mother so like not doing anything? But in the Atlas book, you discover more about her and you're like,
It makes more sense.
oh, yes, it makes more sense. And then Kier, who has been really detached to everything, you learn what he has been detached from everything in his own book. And even though you're like, oh my gosh, can they hate each other that much? There was no hate, it was more like the resentment of and the fear that created that feeling that they have for each other. They don't even know if it's hate or it's love
Well,
because they never had that.
and Hopper talks a lot about because the dad was very abusive and like that, it's a very open subject throughout the books. And so
Yes.
like he talks about how he would basically pit them against each other, and like they so he would abuse them, but they would fight and like viciously fight. And so it's like it was this cycle of chaos and hurt and just psychological warfare almost on them.
Yes.
So this is book two. Book three is next. And when does book three come out?
June 11th.
June 11th. So,
So for wise readers, it comes out on June 2nd.
okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Claudia, for stopping by and chatting all things Timber Bridge.
Thank you for having me.
And check out Under the Same Sky, available May 7th. And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.